the truth that we have an all-knowing God. We have an all-knowing God. In a sense, this lesson would form part of a series that we were on when we were looking at the fact that except or but for the Spirit of God, there are certain things we would not know about the mind of God and about God Himself. And in the preamble to this lesson, we examine the fact that we can learn so much by just looking at nature. We can learn so much about God Almighty. We need to just pause and just look around us, and we will recognize that God exists. There must have been some being that created all this, because the design of the world, the way things work in unison, this could not be by accident. So we, by observation, would recognize that the fact that we have this world created, there is a creator. Perish the thought that it just happened by accident, a bang. No. By the design, we realize that there must be a designer. And so by just looking around our natural things, we recognize that there is a God, a creator, a causer, a designer. But God in His love, God in His wisdom, did not just leave us to just observe and know that He is. Yes. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, yes, it shows God's handiwork. But God did not just leave it to say, well, this is what I think. By His inspiration, He has made it clear and has confirmed what we can observe by ourselves, that He is a creator. And it, you know, in we have already looked at the fact that if we should scan scripture, in fact, just at the beginning of inspiration, we are introduced to God. In the beginning, says Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created. So we are seeing that scripture, by the inspiration of God and the Holy Spirit, is telling us that we have a creator. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, that's the end of inspiration. If you go there quickly, we'll read it. It again alludes and helps us to realize that we have a God. Read.
Thou art worthy, O Lord.
Thou art worthy, O Lord.
To receive glory.
You are worthy to receive glory. And isn't that how we started? That we are in this place because God is worthy to be praised. Read.
And honor.
Not only praise, but honor.
And power.
And power.
For thou hast created all things.
For thou hast created
all things.
All things. What are we saying? Scripture is confirming what we can see. That there is a God And it is He that hath created us. He has created all things. And so He deserves our praise, our glory, our adoration. So, from the beginning to the end of inspiration, this has become a common theme. And if we should try to stop somewhere in the middle, Psalm 100 and verse 3, we see the same principle coming. The beginning, the middle, and the end. There is a God. There is a creator, a causer, a designer. He's God. Are you there?
Yes. Know ye that the Lord, He is God.
Know that the Lord, He is God.
It is He that
it is He
that has made us.
That hath made us. You can't stop there. You see, we are not an accident. It is God who has created us. And so, nature reveals it. Scripture has confirmed it. There are, however, limitations to nature. Because while nature will tell us that there is a God, and scriptures will confirm that. Because when we scan inspiration and we see the declaration that Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, that while they are responsible for the creation of the world, and we can see, as we saw in Psalm chapter 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And then it says, it shows knowledge. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, as it speaks to God being the creator, it points to the fact that He is powerful. While we examine inspiration, it will talk about the fact that He is always present. He's not far from us. He's not absent from us. Nature will never teach us and show us that not only is God knowledgeable, but that He is all-knowing. While nature will tell us and indicate to us that God is powerful, it takes inspiration, the Word of God, to let us know that He is all-knowing. Or powerful. And for that reason, we can confidently say that God is not one of gods. There are not many gods, and our God is but one of them. But there is but one God. In preparing the lesson, I was going to go wide to talk about the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, the all-present God, and the all-giving God. But I decided, I made a choice. Instead of going wide, I've decided to go deep. So instead of touching on all these things today, I want to zero in our attention to the fact that we have a God who is all knowing. He is omniscient. He is all knowing. And we want to scan inspiration and examine, is this so? And are there any implications for God being all-knowing? In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, we are told that we have a God that is everywhere, in all places, that he scans and he knows the good and the evil. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3.
The eyes of the Lord.
The eyes of the Lord
are in every place.
Are in every place.
Beholding the evil.
You see what this is saying? The fact that the eyes of the Lord is in every place, it means that he knows what is happening everywhere. There is nothing that escapes his knowledge. But not only is it that his eyes is everywhere, in every place, but, read on.
Beholding the evil.
He beholds evil.
And the good.
And he beholds good. You know, sometimes, you know, when we are good, you know, we like to show up ourselves, you know. Things good. But when things are bad, or when we are doing evil, we tend to want to hide. But be it known that the God who created us, that he is everywhere. Whether we are doing good or we are doing evil, he knows. So while we can hide our evil from one another, and sometimes it's just for a while, we cannot hide from the Almighty God. He knows. And so among the implication for that is, let us be just open. Let us not try to pretty things up. Let us recognize that we have a God who knows. Let me hasten on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, that's a scripture that was read earlier by Brother Wilson.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight.
There is no creature that is not manifest in the sight of God. Is this consistent with what we saw in Proverbs? All creature, all things are manifest. Manifest? What is that? Is that something like manifesto? We hear about manifesto when they're having election and things like that. All things are manifest. What? They are not hidden. It's clear. It shows. All things, whether good or bad, all things are clear in the sight of God. Read on.
But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him.
Listen to the words being used. They are naked.
And open.
They are open.
Unto the eyes of him.
Unto the eyes of him.
With whom?
Brothers and sisters, friends, who are we fooling? Can be nobody else but ourselves. Because whatever we do, it is an open book in the eyes of God. You know, you got doctor and doctor treating you and you want to cover up. But the doctor can just see everything. So it is with the Almighty God. We are just an open book. We are wide open in the sight of God. Nothing is hidden. Read on.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest.
Seeing then. Don't miss this now. Seeing then.
That
could easily be therefore. Because we are an open book. Because we are naked, fully exposed in the sight of God. Because God knows us inside out. Then it says, seeing then. Therefore, you know, we could also use the word since. So since we are an open book, since there's nothing hidden from God, then there are some things that will follow. But just step up back to verse 13 for me, because that verse ends with a phrase that I don't want us to miss. Back at verse 13, the last statement.
But all things are naked.
All things are naked, yes.
And open unto the eyes of him.
And open unto the eyes of him.
With whom we have to do.
With whom we have to do. With whom we have to do. Our action. Good, evil, in day or night, behind doors, in front of doors, we cannot hide from the Almighty God. He knows with whom we have to do. It is God to whom we have to give an account. So when we are hiding and prettying up our actions from me, from a fellow Christian, from a family member, we are missing the real person, which is God. With whom we have to do. We have to give an account to him. And he knows. So might as well we come clean. It don't make sense. We're trying to have a nice eulogy. Yeah. When you die, people says all kind of good things about you. But on the day of judgment, God's commentary on you is going to be saying, I never knew you. Why are you calling me Lord, Lord? It is to him who? He who knows all, who sees everything, because nothing is hidden, everything is open unto him. Let us, brethren, friends, recognize that the all-knowing God has implication. We cannot hide from him. You know, it is sort of lovely, and it is a good assurance to be able to say, my Jesus knows just what I need. And that's true. He knows just what we need. But oftentimes when we say that, it's because we want some level of satisfaction. But be conscious that sometimes that statement means that God knows that you need a shaking up. That sometimes you need to be awakened from our comfort zone. To what extent, brethren, are we evangelizing? Can we introspect? To what extent are we being benevolent one to another? To what extent are we giving as God has prospered us? My Jesus knows just what I need. Well, Jesus may be saying, this person, you, me, we need a shaking up, because I have been blessing you and you have not been giving back to the cause. You have not been kind one to another. And brother, how can this shaking up, this waking up take place? Well, he might take away your source of blessing. Are you there? It is possible that this job that you're saying, boy, I wish it paid me a little bit more. Somebody, almost everybody can say that. But the truth is, it is by God's blessing that you are getting what you are getting. And by the design of God, he expects you to conscientiously recognize that it is he who has blessed you with this. And that you are robbing him. And then somebody says, oh, that robbing sounds nice. That he recognized, say, a thief from him. He might very well take away that job from you, that source of income from you. And then somebody say, why? What a calamity. But God might do that because that's just what you need. My Jesus knows just what I need. And sometimes to appreciate the goodness of God, sometimes we need a shaking up. And we lose that which we think was the most important thing. Let us come clean with the Almighty God. Because many a times he has been extremely good and gracious to us. But we do not appreciate it. We rob him. That's evil. But we pretend that we are doing good. I could stay on this point for a long time, because while I've zeroed in on giving, to what extent are we evangelizing? I'm going to share with you something. I was having a text discussion with Brother Kidu this morning. We have a little secret joke. Not secret, really, secret, but no. A lot of times when I see Brother Kidu, I say to him, Brother Kidu, I know what you were doing on June 13, 1984. What was he doing? No one to know. He was preaching the gospel. That same night that I became a Christian, he was in Highgate in a crusade preaching the gospel. So we have that going, but while we were, you know, something came out in a group that he's celebrating 71 years of age. And then he was saying that he became a Christian at age 17. Today, he's 71. You see the number thing? Age 17, he's now 71. So in our little chit-chat, I was saying, well, if he became a Christian at age 17, and in 1984, he was preaching the gospel, then that means he was preaching the gospel when he was 17 years old as a Christian. All right, that one missed some of us. All right. I'm playing significance of numbers here. But what's the point? We all have a responsibility to evangelize. We all have a responsibility to share the gospel. I also said to him that if the world continues for another 71 years, then I have a strong feeling, in fact, I am confident that the word of God will continue to be proclaimed because of his influence. So, brother, what are you saying? In going to live until him 140? No, that's not what I don't think so. But if we evangelize, if we share the gospel with somebody else, then that is the strategy that God has given for the gospel to continue for years and years, decades and decades, centuries and centuries, as it has. It is as we share the gospel, think about it, all of those brothers and sisters that he would have influenced to Christ, who are now influencing others to Christ, going down through the generation, that's how God expects us to continue the gospel. So what am I saying? How are we doing at sharing the gospel? God knows if we are trying. God knows if we are planting. God knows if we are watering. He knows. So if I give the impression that I'm an ardent person sharing the gospel to my neighbors, to my co-workers, family, trying to influence them. But God knows that I'm really not trying. In fact, my example is so bad that when they look at me, they say, but if I saw Christian behave, me no want to be like, me no make sense, me turn Christian. You know them type? We have to be conscious that we ought to positively influence persons to Christ. But God knows, and it is to him we have to give an account. We are still at verse 30. With whom we have to do. To God we have to give an account. To man, we may, but to God, we have to. Then let's jump back on track now. To whom we have to do.
Seeing then that we have
seeing
a great.
Seeing then.
That we have a
stop.
Great.
Seeing then. Since Therefore, seeing then, since, there are some things that we now have to ensure that are in order. Since it is that God knows what we need, then there are certain things that becomes a necessity. Seeing then, read.
That we have a great high priest.
That we have a great high priest.
That is passed into the heavens.
Yeah, read on.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Yes.
Let us hold fast.
Let us. So seeing then, let us. The fact that God knows us inside out. The fact that God is all-knowing. Yes, there are some things said in between. But primary here is that we have a God who knows. He's all-knowing. It's saying, because of this, let us. Let us what?
Hold fast.
Let us hold fast. So that's my encouragement for you. Because we have an all-knowing God, let us hold fast to Him. Because when we are sort of catching on, just barely hang on, He knows. Let us hold on. I think there's another let us that follows. Read on. So, we are going to hold fast, hold tight. Read.
For we have not a high priest.
We don't have a high priest.
Which cannot be touched.
Yes, read.
With the feeling of our infirmities.
Yes.
But was in all points tempted,
mm-hmm.
like as we are.
Yes.
Yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Let us.
Oh, wait. So, he's making some application. So, seeing that God knows all, let us hold fast, and I'm hearing another, let us. Let us what?
Therefore.
Yes.
Come boldly unto the throne of grace.
Prayer. Let us never underestimate the power of prayer. God knows all. Let's just go to Him now. Let us just boldly approach Him because He loves us. When we're doing good and we are doing evil, God knows us. We just need to approach Him fully confident that no matter how bad we are, He can help us. Let us not approach Him timidly, but let us go boldly to God Almighty. Let us, no matter what is happening to us, let us hold tight and pray. Tight and pray. I want to examine yet another passage. So we have seen from Proverbs. We have seen from Hebrews. Speaking about the fact that God is all-knowing. Let us examine Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. Where we are going to see inspiration again, highlighting that God knows. That God is all-knowing. Let us not miss the context. Just want to bring it in focus. While nature reveals some things about God, it is by the inspiration of God, it is by the Holy Spirit through inspiration that allows us to understand the deep truth concerning God. So while we realize that it's no ignorant person who made the world, it is through inspiration that we realize that not only is He a God of knowledge, but He's a God of all knowledge. Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. Read.
And they prayed,
and said,
Yes.
Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two.
Can you start again for me? I don't want any of us to miss it.
And they prayed. And said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all
you
men.
You know the hearts of most men.
All men.
You know the hearts of some men.
All men.
All men. This is the God that when we pray, remember what we're coming from? Because God is all-knowing. Let us hold fast. Let us come to him boldly. Here we see some Christians, and they had a situation before them, and they came praying, and they said, Lord, which knowest, God all-knowing, God who is omniscient, who knows the heart of all men. This is the God we're talking about. Read on.
Show whether of these two
thou hast chosen. You know, this is an interesting context. I want us to pay some attention to some of the pronouns in this text. They prayed, but they said, Thou, Lord, it is you, Lord, who knows. It is God who knows all things. You know, sometimes some of us go on like, we know things. God not understand. So how God is going to say in this day and age of women having intellectual prowess, how could God say, don't let women preach in a mixed audience? God doesn't know what he's talking about, but it's God who knows. But he says, no man, in this day and age, where music can sound so sweet with a nice bass, how melodious does the song sound with the organ, with the strings of the guitar and the violin? God don't understand. And it's almost as if we know more than God. But it is God who knows. He knows all. He knows the heart and everything concerning man and everything concerning his creation. And so they said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the heart of all men. But the prayer didn't stop there. They prayed and they said, Thou knowest the heart of all men. Then they say what?
Show whether.
Yeah, I think the NIV says, show us. And that needs to be our attitude. Watch it now. The fact that God is an all-knowing God, then it is for us to allow him to show us. Because he is the one who knows all. So now the responsibility is for us to be subject to him. Because he knows all, and in that we are acknowledging that we are ignorant, that we are in need of knowing. And so our attitude, our disposition, yes, as a visitor, you are here thinking, well, I'm not sure But what we are saying to you is that God knows. And he wants you to embrace him. Subject yourself to him. Just as we as Christians are subjecting ourselves to him. We are not perfect. We are a work in progress. We know that even though I might be looking nice, as a might, in my jacket and standing here, that God knows that I'm not all good. That there's some evil in me. But because God knows and we want to live humble and allow him to guide us, then he's going to show us where our limitations are. He's going to cause some things to go wrong so I can see the right. The extent to which I feast upon his word, he will give me enlightenment so that I can change. And that can be so for you too. I, Christians, been around long enough to recognize that sometimes we are just on autopilot. That's true. We just are gone. But the truth is that we need to examine ourselves daily whether we are in the faith. But here it is. Show us. Show us. They prayed. So it is we. You know, I hope you were paying attention to some of the pronouns. The you, the us, the they. Where God is concerned, he knows. Where we are concerned, we are in ignorance. It is us that needs to pray. It is us that need to solicit him who knows all. Because, you know, those of us who think we know and know not that we know not, we end up in a whole lot of problems. The case that we are looking at here, it says that they prayed to show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Oftentimes, we are confronted with choices. Some of them are stark as evil and good. But it's not every choice is really an evil and good choice. Sometimes it comes down to what God sees as best in our lives. And we have to make choices all the time. But I want us to recognize that here these Christians were confronted with something to choose. What did they do? They prayed. That's why they were confronting Jesus Christ. They needed a choice. They needed to choose. And so it is for us to take this job versus another job. To marry or not to marry. To break up or to stay. Choices. Not all of these choices are moral choices. But here it is. Because we are children of God, because we want to do what is best for God, the church, for Christianity, and yourself. When there are choices, here's the recommendation. Let us pray. That's what these disciples were doing. They were confronted with choices. God already knows what he wants. The scenario was that Judas died, killed himself. His bishopric, his apostleship, was somebody else had to take his place. They looked around and said, okay, these two men are qualified. Let us make a choice. Well, I like this one more, you know. This one has been around a little longer. Oh, this one speaks nicely. This one was kind to me the other day. That's not the determining factor. Or these ought not to be the factors for consideration. But sometimes we have to just pray about it. You're at the end of verse 24. Who is reading for me? No reader. Shew whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part
of this ministry,
and apostleship,
from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.
Now listen to verse 26.
And they gave forth their
lots. They gave forth their lots. They gave forth their lots. When we have choices to make, when we have decisions to make, especially as it concerns things that will influence us as Christians and the church, let us cast our lots. Having prayed, let us cast, as it were, our cares on Christ. You know, and that's not a bad thing. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Cast your cares on him. Why? He cares for you. He knows and he cares. So when you have choices and decisions and you are going to exercise some options, as Christians, let us always recognize that God knows best. He's all-knowing. He's seeing all the factors. He's not just seeing tomorrow and next year. He's seeing the horizon. He's seeing the big picture. He knows everything. He knows all men, good and evil. He knows. And so we are about to cast our cares on him. Just cast your lot. And then somebody said, well, that's how you do it. You just put it out there, sir. I want us to recognize that in the midst of the prayer and leaving ourselves exposed, and we already are in the sight of God, that you must consult Scripture. You get it? They pray. They allowed it to God. But can we step up? I'm going to try to end about now. Just step up to verse 20.
For it is written in the book of Psalms,
yes,
let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein.
I want us to realize that when they came to this crossroad, where there were some choices to be made, that they prayed, yes. They allowed God to take control. But notice that they consulted Scripture. For it is written Let his habitation be desolate.
And let no man dwell therein.
His bishopric, let another take. So they were going down the right road. Verse 21.
Wherefore, of these men, which have accompanied us.
They have accompanied us
all the time.
While Christ was here, they were among us. Verse 22, beginning
from the baptism of John.
From the baptism of John.
Unto that same day. That he was taken from us.
That's Jesus Christ.
Must one be ordained to be a witness.
Stop. Must one be ordained. What are they talking about? They were trying to find out which one, who is to take up the apostleship. One to be ordained. Read what's in that parenthesis now. To be a witness with us of his resurrection. What's the point? They were choosing an apostle to replace Judas. But to qualify as an apostle, that person must have been an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's my point? Sometimes we have choices to make. Let us consult Scripture. How many persons we see saying today, I am Reverend. I am Apostle Paul. No, let me not confuse it. Like, I am Apostle Fabian. I am Apostle Patrick. I am Apostle Seymour. I am Apostle Percival. I am Apostle Chad. Apostle? Well, how can you be an apostle? When these persons wanted to find a replacement, it had to be a person who was an eyewitness, a witness with us of Christ's resurrection. Have you seen the resurrected Christ with your own eyes? Have you witnessed this? You can't be an apostle. Holy and reverend is his name. How you get into that? But I said I was wrapping up, so let me close off. The all-knowing God. He's in every place, seeing evil and good. When we come to him, we must always be conscious that we are naked and exposed in front of him. There's nothing to hide. So as a result, we need to hold fast and we need to pray. As we pray, we need to be conscious that he knows best. Allow him to show us how to proceed. Let us leave ourselves open to his path. Let us, in the midst of our prayer, make sure that we are praying sensibly by consulting Scripture, because he has left guidance for us. God, the all-knowing God, we know that he's a God of knowledge. All we have to do is look around us. But inspiration, the word of God has made it clear and abundantly clear that he is a God who knows all. There's no corner that he does not understand. There's nobody exempt from his knowledge. And so we need to just cast our cares on him. Pray, look to his word, and he'll set us straight.